that, like, how amazing it is to have a family in the church. And the reason I chose this lesson is kind of funny. Amelia and I have been studying together. For all you don't know, Amelia is my girlfriend. She exists. And we were studying, and the question a couple months back arose, and she asked why I feel it's important we go to church. And so I had to think about it because I want to give a good answer. And I said, well, one of the things that really drives me, among the other answers I gave, I said, one of the things that really drives me is to have my family. I have my church family. They keep me accountable, and they keep me in check. I mean, it's very important they keep me in check. But aside from that, I had no other real answer for the family side of the things. I didn't really pay attention to really what and how important a family is in a church. So the topic tonight is the importance of having a church family. And we're going to start out by looking at the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 16. There's going to be several verses tonight. And we're going to be looking at six different topics, six different bullet points, I should say, about why it's so important to have a family. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it reads, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work." And what this is saying right here and how it ties into my topic is this is what we're studying. This is God's Bible. This is the Bible. We are studying the inspired words of God given to us through Him and through inspired prophets and apostles. And so that's the first bullet point, is that having a family is very important because it gives us some people to study with. The second point is that we honor God together through our worship. And we can read about this in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 3. Psalms 34 and verse 3. It reads, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And to continue on, we're going to go and turn to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 18, let me get there first. Matthew 18 and verse 20, it reads, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So when we gather and we worship together as a family, and we are together as a family studying the Bible, God's Word, Jesus is with us, worshiping with us. And this ties into, because right now Jesus is talking to us in the book of Matthew, and it is talking about dealing with a sinning brother. And this ties into my fourth point, which talks about having a family is a family that holds us accountable for our actions, our words, how we are Christians. And we read about how we hold each other accountable in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, it also reads, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And as I'm not that much of a poet, but it's pretty straightforward, it's to say that we build each other up. We correct each other when we're wrong. We hold each other accountable as Christians. We back each other up. We also fact check each other and make sure that what we're saying and teaching and learning is true. So, as having a family, we are to find each other accountable. The big one that I just kind of realized, I don't know why I didn't talk about it, is that we give each other support as a family in trials. Good example would be to my grandfather's memorial right there. You guys were all here. Loved seeing you. Felt a great amount of support. You guys were there for us when he passed away. He gave us support. And then another example is our announcements. I mean, sometimes they're boring and they're the exact same thing every time, but it's important we do that. It's important that we take care of each other. We're a family. And there's love in the family, as we just sang about like 20 times tonight. There is so much love in this church. There's also an important thing that we have, and it's that we gain opportunities for service. And a good example for how I've gained an opportunity for service is that you all, each and every one of you, which I am so thankful for, have trained me to be the Christian that I am today. You have held me accountable. I know that half of this church has taught me somehow something about the Bible. Sherry taught my class when I was a kid. I know that Ron and Sharon Harrison taught me a bunch of stuff when I'd run around the church building and I'd get scolded, and that's not okay. I remember that. I remember a ton of things. I mean, I remember all the older folks. Who was it? Jack Hammond taught me how to shake a hand properly. Taught me how to shake a hand like a man. I appreciated it. And then I went to Jerry LeCamp and I shook his hand. He said, "You don't got to break my hand, man. That's not very nice." I'm learning. I'm still learning. But we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7 how we gain opportunities for service. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let me get there. In verse 7. It reads, I'm actually going to go jump back to verse 5. "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or he is free." And this is just telling us that us doing our service, God's work, the service that we are commanded to do, is something that we do together as a family. And my last point, my last bullet point, is going to be that we are to be made and to make disciples, followers of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it reads, I'm going to read verse 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And the last verse we'll be looking at tonight is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. That's here. 28 and 18 through 20. And this is Jesus commanding us. This is Jesus telling us to go out and be disciples. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" This little, short, sweet invitation is just to say, I am so thankful to have you all as my family, and we are a very strong family. We take care of each other immensely, and we do exactly as the Bible tells us to do. We correct each other when we're wrong. We give each other congratulations when we're right. We support each other when we're sorrowful. And so I would like to thank you all for raising me to be the Christian. I mean, of course, my family, but each and every one of you have helped me become the man I am today. So thank you. If you are able, would you please stand as we are going to sing